Of course.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. Mom was doing a little research, and apparently hemp is 0.5%.
0.3 to 1.5% of the THC.
Which is the
high
ingredient
part.
That gets you high.
And hemp is, that was hemp, and cannabis is like 5 to 10%. So.
But the stock on cannabis is weak.
It's new and improved.
The hemp is extremely strong. The cannabis is very weak. But you can grow it in the United States, but you have to have a permit from the DEA, which they don't give very readily.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and then who wants DEA crawling all over your property every how often they're probably coming to inspect it?
True.
Yeah.
Well, they're busy solving mine issues right now, so...
Mine?
Yeah.
I miss that joke. I haven't heard any news.
They need to hire a new backhoe operator, I think.
We're here to protect you.
I will say that was probably... I didn't hear any news from when we left Friday. It's been a week and a day, and I have heard zero.
Isn't that good?
That was the EPA, not the DEA.
Yeah, it was.
Anyway.
That's good for the nerves, isn't it, to go with that news for
gosh.
A whole week? You don't realize how much you let it zing you.
I just out of habit, I turned on news yesterday when I got back, and after about 30 seconds, I'm like...
Nothing good in there.
Click.
Yeah.
All right, we're talking fall planting. We're talking the Heirloom Seed Festival. We're here with John J. Harper, and we have an open line at 1-888-767-4348. Can I go back to compost?
Sure.
Because, you know, John J., I have this grown-up self of me, and then I have this grown-up self people think of me. And because we've done the Lawn and Garden Show together for so many years, a lot of times I'll show up at somebody's house to talk to about a roof problem, a paint problem, air conditioning problem, and then they'll want to talk to me about their garden problem. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, you really don't want me out there giving you advice on the garden. But I see a lot of the mistakes that people make. Mm-hmm. And I was recently at a house where they wanted to show me what they were having trouble with. And they were having trouble with their compost.
Okay.
And it was just slimy and gooey and horrible. And I actually was able to help them on that.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't realize you have to use some different materials when you compost. A lot of people will layer it. You know, talk about a layer of green and a layer of brown and a layer of green. So if you got lettuce, which everybody seems to have a lot of leftover lettuce, you know, as you're peeling it off, it's not any, you know, the stuff that's not quite any good. So if you put that in there, and that's all you put in there, you'd have a slime.
You do.
It just would turn to mush.
Yeah.
Right? So you've got to then maybe on top of that put some wood chips or if
I know people just throw sheets of newspaper,
shredded newspaper
down there.
Or it doesn't have to be shredded,
yeah,
but shredded helps because then
it goes quicker.
So, or some dry leaves or wet and dry or green or brown, however you want to think about it, you got to kind of layer it. And then after a while, you got to start turning it and mixing it together and turning it. And it has to get a certain amount of air, but we want to keep it covered so we keep the moisture and the heat in there, and then when it starts kind of cooking itself, if we can trap that heat, it speeds the process up. Not that it wouldn't compost without doing that, it just would take a lot longer. But so you got to have a variety of materials in there. So think of it as wet and dry or green or brown or whatever. And then make sure you don't use proteins too. I mean, when we talk about kitchen scraps, don't put meat scraps in there. So no proteins, basically.
I do put a lot of bones. Like if you've got ribs left over or you do a whole chicken and you got the chicken bone left. Well, bone marrow.
If you got all the, as long as you get most or all of
the meats off.
The tissue off of that, bone would be fine. We use bone meal. And, you know, ground up bone is a fertilizer. So sure, as long as you could get it broken down.
I'm halfway there, John Jay. We've been doing the show together for about 15 years, and now just in the last year, I can make good compost. In another 15 years, I might be able to make a tomato.
There you go.
One step at a time.
Right.
So
our garden looks horrible, but the compost looks good.
There you go. Well, cover that garden with compost, and you'll have a really pretty ground cover of compost in your garden. It'll look nice.
What would you think a cheeseburger, grass-fed beef cheeseburger, at an heirloom seed festival would cost? Now, you've got to take in a couple things into consideration, just like any other fair.
Grass-fed
prices are probably going to be a little inflated inside the fair.
It's in California.
You're in, north of the bay, so apparently that, to give an example, the Pooh Bear we were staying with, he went and bought 4 cheeseburgers, 3 beers, and a bottle of water at the baseball game. What do you think that cost?
That whole ticket?
Yeah, 4 cheeseburgers, 3 beers, and a bottle of water.
$80.
$110. And that was probably the worst processed food you could find.
Wow.
So, but at Heirloom Festival, completely organic grass-fed beef.
$12.50.
You're close, $13.
All right.
So, with artichoke, or not artichoke, avocado. How much do you think to add avocado?
Oh, it's a couple bucks.
It was $2 to add avocado. I was driving back, and in Gilroy, I passed an avocado stand.
Yeah.
8 for a dollar.
Yeah.
The whole avocado.
Right.
But
they
tell you
sound
what,
expensive.
It was a good
they
cheeseburger.
Sound expensive.
Shall we get up to Camp Birdie and welcome Greg into the conversation? Call him this morning on actually one of my favorite plants because I learned you can actually make a hedge out of them. It's one of those edible plants, the artichoke.
Oh, cool.
Good morning, Greg.
Hi. Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just have a question. About 2 falls ago, nearly 2 years, I planted about a 70-foot row of artichokes, and I got the seeds from Italy, seeds of Italy, and they're really hardy and they're really large. And so over the seasons, they died off, but 2 are real stubborn. And they've come back. They never really died completely. I mean, they've just come back, and they're starting to really grow. They're about 2 feet high right now. And I'm wondering, are they like rhubarb where you can divide them and increase them, propagate them, or are they just spent?
No, artichokes many times are planted from the root. So, yes, to answer your question, yes, depending on how the plant has grown. Now, it'll have to have, a multiple, it'll have to have multiplied itself so there is something to divide, but you should be able to get down at the base of it and see if there's multiple plants coming up. So when they, when artichokes go dormant, which they do, they die back, depending on, up there probably in the late fall or early winter, then you could go in the wintertime and divide them, dig them up, divide them, separate them, and replant them. And certainly you could do it that way.
What's your favorite way to cook an artichoke?
Like they're
You don't eat artichoke?
Like they're a total waste of time. but other than the artichoke heart, just give me the heart.
That's it.
The heart, those little marinated artichoke hearts in a glass.
I love them.
Those I love. Now just peeling the stupid thing off and dipping it and scraping it off on your teeth. Yeah, no thanks.
I love them.
I do too.
It, with enough butter and mayonnaise.
Well, do that to anything. But I do love marinated artichoke hearts.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes.
Especially mixing with spinach on a little dip, artichoke spinach dips. Yeah. I like those. Brian, welcome to the program. How may we help you, sir?
Yeah, I have some bougainvilleas I bought. I put them in the ground. They had, the red flower or what's around the flower. The red stuff.
Yep.
And then now they're all gone. So.
What's all gone?
The red in the bougainvillea.
Well, they cycle.
The flower.
They're not going to stay in flower and color 365 days out of the year. If the plant is growing and healthy, they'll cycle back into color, provided that they're getting enough sun. You want to make sure they get adequate but not too much water. Sometimes if they grow too fast or grow too much foliage too quickly, they won't color up as good. But, I think your expectations of a plant having those red bracts on them every day of the year is just a little out of line.
It is something once established is very hardy.
Very tough plant.
They'll freeze easy.
Yeah,
but
they freeze back. You cut them back. They come back. They're even nicer after you. And that's how people ought to prune them. Late winter, early spring, cut them way back. Cut them heavy and then quit pruning them the rest of the year. And they'll be in bloom most of the year for you, and they're really tough. And you go by some old abandoned houses. You don't see that very much anymore around here, but you know, there used to be a place out on McKellips Road between Scottsdale and Mesa, probably on the Indian Reservation. It was an old abandoned house, and there was a bougainvillea on the side of it. So you know it never got any water. And that was the prettiest bougainvillea that you'd ever want to see. So
I'd like to put some between our horse stalls and the road. There's about a 20-foot section just to get some dust, shades green, and
absolutely
a nice, colorful row of...
Yeah, there's some pretty nice bougainvillea plantings on some of our freeways where they've just planted the big bush-type ones, and they leave them alone, and they let them get big. And, gosh, most of the year, they're just fabulous looking.
And you used to see them primarily red, but you see orange, you see
pink
spotted
and white, and, yeah, lots of different options.
Let's see how we can help Kate in Glendale at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Kate, good morning, ma'am.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How may we help?
I've got a couple of raised beds I use for vegetable garden. They're old watering troughs up on blocks, and they're doing real well. And this summer I had tomatoes and peppers, green peppers, and the pepper plants started to produce, and then the peppers were getting really burnt looking, like brown.
Mm-hmm.
So I really didn't get many peppers at all. But the plants have survived the entire summer, and they're now about 2 feet tall. They're huge. Are they going to produce again, or do I need to tear them out and just start over?
Yeah, you know, generally September, October, and even into November is when I think my peppers are actually the best. The weather cools enough. The peppers get better size to them. You quit getting the sunburn spots on them. Provided you have enough room and you don't need the room to grow a winter vegetable, you know, this is for our elevation and our climate right now is probably the best time of the year for peppers.
For harvesting, not planting.
Right. For pepper production, those plants that made it through the summer, which pepper plants are darn tough. I mean, they're way more heat tolerant than tomato plants. Tomato plants, you know, you're wasting your time. Pull them up, throw them away, spend
save
that water
like
on something else. But the peppers will hang in there. They might quit producing, or the peppers will get – they just don't get very big. You know, they just ripen really quick. They get a little size to them, and they turn red and ripen up, and or they sunburn. If you can just keep those going and use what little, few little peppers you get, from about now on, you'll start getting some nice size and some really nice peppers.